It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you so much for joining us, for listening. Each of you are treasured. You're valued. You have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Live with intention. You were made for this moment. Thank you to this team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Friday, Steve.
Well, you're equal opportunity greeter. You have the same enthusiasm on Friday as you have on that other day of the week. Thank you.
Seems like that other day of the week, which was Monday, was just a moment ago. I cannot believe how fast time is going. But there's so much work to do. Check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. We have recaps and podcasts of all of our most recent shows. We're on basically a 48-hour window on that. Once we have the audio on that, Patty writes the copy. We do some editing, and we'd love to have that happen a little faster, but that's where we're at. So typically within two business days, we are on a regimen there where you will be able to get the podcast and the recap at that time. Steve, you look like you want to say something.
Oh, no, I'm just thinking about what you're about to talk about. So
okay.
I'm just thinking ahead.
Okay. And I wanted to mention, Patty Kurgan, our researcher, had written a really terrific article and that we rolled out. It's on the website now. And it is... now I can't remember the exact title. Life of Fear. She addresses what's going on. I have to look that up right now. But it is really excellent, and I would recommend that you check that out. And we rolled that out last weekend. And she's got another one that will be coming down the pike as well. And sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We greatly appreciate it. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. And remember, it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, property, freedom, or livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or the latest silent thief that is government-induced inflation. And socialism is not about free stuff. That's just the carrot to get people to vote for it. Tell you what, I am really excited. In studio with me is Andy Pate. And you know him. He is a KLZ personality. And he fills in for Rush to Reason when Rush is traveling. And also, you're on Tuesdays and Fridays regularly, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so today's Friday. What do you have on tap for today?
I have on tap that I'm here to talk to you. I'm just looking forward to everything. This is going to be a lot of fun. First of all, I've only had 2 hours of sleep.
Why? What kept you up?
Okay, you know how this goes, Kim, when you know that you've got to get up way earlier than normal.
Uh-huh.
And so you can't sleep because your mind is looking forward to that. And so you just do not sleep. So only 2 hours of sleep, which is kind of weird. So I think I'm going to be very colorful and interesting this show.
You're always colorful
and
interesting.
Great interview. So on the way, I'm driving here.
Okay.
Right. And I have to get gas. And I'm
in the middle of the night.
Yes. In the middle of the night. I'm driving here. And, you know, I want to stop. I want to fill up the tank. So I do that. And you know how when you put in the card, it asks you for your zip code.
Uh-huh. You couldn't remember it?
Yeah. Well, today, I had to decide, you know, what is this concept, zip code? What does it mean? Okay. And I had to ponder that for a little while. And then, okay, I remembered my zip code. So I had to go through basically all the possible 5-number, you know, combinations known to man. And I finally got it in there and I got my gas. So I am waking up. This is very exciting.
Okay. Well, it's great to have you here. And the show rebroadcasts 1 to 2 every day and then 10 to 11. Rush to Reason, you will be on, and that's from 3 to 6 today. And then don't they replay an hour from 6 to 7 as well?
Right. We'll be on 3 to 6. And that's what we do every day is 3 to 6. And then from 6 to 7, we replay one of the hours. Usually it's the first hour. Today we'll replay. On Fridays, we're replaying the second hour because that's movie hour.
Okay.
And it's kind of interesting. You know, as you know, I do movie reviews.
Right.
And I always do that in the first hour on Fridays. And This week, by the way, it's the latest Resident Evil movie. I don't know.
Okay.
I like zombie movies. Why not? But what happened is during COVID, all the theaters shut down.
Right.
And so we had to come up with something else. I went to John Rush, who does the show, and I said, John, I got an idea. Why don't we every week spend an hour with me, you, and your son Richard on the line, and we'll just talk about, we'll take a topic of movie rentals, you know, your favorite actor, your favorite action movie, your favorite romances, your favorite this, favorite that, and we'll just go around and keep listing our favorite one and talk about our favorite movies. I'll play a few clips and we'll do this. Almost overnight, it became the most popular hour of the week.
Isn't that astounding?
For the show, yeah. We have people calling in. We have people texting in constantly with all their ideas on this movie, that
movie.
Love it. Remember when we did historical movies? Mm-hmm. You had all kinds of ideas. And it became so popular that we decided that on Fridays from 6 to 7, we'd have to replay that hour again.
Okay. So that's great. Yeah, and yeah, you said that that's... And you and I have such great conversations when we're, you know, out in the cubicles working on things. And I thought, I said, okay, Andy, would you mind coming in early and being in studio? And here you are. And
I've been looking forward to this. I mean, you and I basically do a show right out there in the cubicles.
I know.
A couple times a week.
I know. I was thinking when you said getting up early, it's kind of like when I used to fly. You know, if I'd have an early morning flight, same thing. I'd hardly sleep. And then, you know, you're exhausted when the alarm actually goes off. But I get it. I totally get it. But it's really great to have you here. And I'm so excited. What we're going to talk about.
Like I said, I've been looking forward to this. And I know we're going to talk about Rittenhouse.
Exactly.
And we're going to talk about a little bit choice, control, freedom, force, that kind of thing, because that's what we do.
That is what we do. And we do this to help you get your brain around these issues. And once you have understanding of these things, Andy, then you can converse, know what you're talking about with reasonable voices. And that is where we really need to get to. And speaking of that, every Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. is Reggie Carr's new show. And that's I'm a Uniter.
Guy.
He is a great guy. And it's amazing to me that he is saying things that's not being said out there, but yet in a really... sometimes a lot of humor. I mean, it's from life experiences. Just recently, he really addressed the black-on-black crime that is occurring in America and really calling out the sports figures as well. And so I'll be listening to it, and I'm like, I cannot believe he just said that. But it is a great show. It's 9 to 10 on Friday mornings. I'm a Uniter. Highly recommend... that people check it out. And what he's doing is he is rebranded to this I'm a Uniter to bring people from all different sides of the political aisle together. And his love, he's very creative. He's a great musician, writer. And so he's written a soundtrack of I'm a Uniter of 9 different tracks. And he has brought in a whole bunch of different ideas on that. And anyway, he's going to be promoting that to bring people together because Hollywood has used their voice to divide us. And he's going to use his talent to bring us together. I find it really exciting.
Oh, I do too. And when you're around Reggie, you just feel the warmth.
You do.
You really do. You know, I've always said, Kim, that... if you only value people who agree with you, then you don't value people at all. You only value agreement with you.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And at that point, who's the only one you value? You.
You.
Well, Reggie strikes me as somebody who values people.
Oh, my gosh.
All kinds of people. And so he looks at them. Look, we're always going to take shots at the left and this kind of thing. We're going to take pot shots at those who we think are destroying things, right? Those who are causing a lot of damage, raising too much taxes, taking away freedoms and so forth, because those are bad things. But his ability to sit and listen to somebody else and espouse another view and really hear them out and not just hear their words, but hear their soul and say, okay, why do you feel that way? Why do you really feel that way? He values people. And I think, you know, in a way, I think Reggie really shows us the way to reach people who we generally wouldn't.
I think that's true. And through music, really, he will be addressing and communicating with youth and the ethnic communities. And so that's super exciting. And then he has a nonprofit, and he has videos of he delivered turkeys for Thanksgiving to a number of different people. And so, yeah, so be sure and check it out. That's 9 to 10 every Friday morning. And I want to jump over here. This show is brought to you, as you know, I'm an independent voice, Andy, and I get to work with some really great sponsors. And one of them is Three Points Financial. Mary Alpers, who's one of the co-owners of that, is on the line. Mary, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim.
Well, you've got some good ideas to help people, some tips. And what did you want to talk about this morning?
Well, as I was putting this together, I was thinking about the Christmas season and how things tend to come in threes. And so I think of Christmas as faith, hope, and charity, or Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Oh, nice.
And as I started thinking about it, I thought there's really three calendar, there's actually four, but we'll just discuss three today, calendar-specific things to think about before the end of the year. And the first one is giving. And there are people who are very close to the maximum of their standard deduction on a tax return, and it's possible to bunch your deductions to give some of what you might do early next year in the end of this year to push yourself over that limit of the standard deduction. And the reason for doing that is a higher tax deduction, but it's also allowing you the second potential of considering a Roth conversion. And Roth conversions are where you take what would normally be taxable in an IRA and you're converting it to a Roth. And for part of this year, we really didn't know that that would be allowed in the new tax law, but as of now, it appears to not have been taken away. And so if you're in a low tax bracket, or if you have an opportunity to lower your taxable income through bunching deductions, such as charitable, it might be a real good time to do it. People who have a lower income, taxable income this year. So that was the second one.
Okay, Mary, and just clarifying, the way I understand it is if you do a Roth conversion, then you would pay taxes now, but then that money would go into that account, and then that would accumulate tax-free, and then when you take that out, it's not a taxable event. Is that, do I have that correct?
You do, and thank you for clarifying that. Yeah, a Roth is a great retirement strategy because it's allowing you to have another bucket of retirement income that is actually tax-free. So we've converted Roth for a lot of clients this year that have reached a point where this is a good year to do it. It depends on the capital gain, the ages of the client, how much they want to convert, how much they can convert. So that's the second one, and those go together because sometimes how we'll do it is strategize increasing itemized deductions at the end of the year to offset the taxable income of the Roth.
Okay.
And then the third one is I-bonds, government inflation I-bonds. You can get them on the Treasury Direct site, and beginning in November, they raised the interest rate to 7.12%. And that's good. And so
I don't know what that is. I've not heard of those, Mary.
No, they don't talk about them a lot. I've done them this year. My clients are doing them. But you have to do them on the site. You open an account and slide money in from a checking or savings account. And the parameters are that it's 7.12% fixed for 6 months from the point of purchase. They just increased that rate in November, and it holds until the end of April. So we've strategized with some clients to buy. You can go up to $10,000 in an I-bond each person. Hmm. So for married couples, they could go up to $20,000 this year at 7.12%. before the end of this calendar year. So it's a calendar year specific benefit. And then next year, because the rate stays that way until the end of April, they could do a second one. And then you hold them, their long-term bonds, and then they adjust based on the new rate. But it adjusts on what is earned as well. And there's some other caveats of how long you can hold them and still get all the interest and stuff. But we see them as a benefit because it used to be that it wasn't very appealing when the rates were really, really low. So those are the three things: savings, bunching deductions, so that's giving, and then Roth conversions, which is strategy. And so I was thinking, well, that kind of goes along with, the threes again that I think of as faith, hope, and charity and Christmas, is that there's three ways to do calendar specific, meaning that after December 31st, the benefit for these is not the same as it is before December 31st.
Okay. Mary, really fascinating. And 3 Points Financial is a fee only, which is really kind of a niche planning firm as well. And how can people reach you? I find this great information that you gave us, Mary.
Oh, well, we're at 3pointsfinancial.com. Or you can call us at 719-495-7163. And Steve Kruse and I are the co-owners of the company.
And that's 3 Points Financial. And again, that's 3pointsfinancial.com. Mary, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week. It's great having you as one of our great new sponsors.
Well, thank you. Bye, Kim.
Okay, thanks. Andy, let's go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. In studio with me is KLZ Radio personality Andy Pate. We'll be right back.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests and our most recent op-eds and podcasts. Patty's article was Life of Fear, Life of Faith. Oh, I didn't look that up. I'm going to do that right now here, Steve. But anyway, it's a great op-ed. She addresses what has been going on and really gives us light in the darkness. So it's a great article. Would recommend that you do that. And I'll get the title on that. I've read it so many times, and now I'm drawing a blank on that. Andy Pate, does that ever happen to you when you're on the air?
Always.
Okay.
In fact, pretty much the entire time I'm on the air, it's nothing but a blank. It makes for great radio.
It does make for great radio. But you said you had something you wanted to say about Mary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There were a couple things that I really liked that she said of strategies, because I never really think about them. And one of those was your charitable giving. Okay, you're planning on doing, you do it month to month, and you're coming up on that. What is it? 4,200 or what is the?
I don't know.
Okay, but she would know. So you talk to her, and you're coming up on that, and just take what you would have done in January, February, accelerate it into the current year, and you're going to get a lot more money back. That's smart. I'd never thought about that, and I didn't know that the I bonds were over 7%.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look, wow. I had no idea. I mean, that's a lot of return.
That is.
It's just kind of cool when you have somebody who actually thinks a little bit outside the box and gets you more money.
Isn't that a nice thing?
Yes,
and
it is.
And giving it to a charity that you want to,
right,
instead of the government is a great idea. Okay, I've got...
Yeah, they are my least favorite charity.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Really. Patty's article is Life of Fear or Life of Peace. It is really great, so I'd recommend that people check that out. Again, it's Life of Fear or Life of Peace. And we make those decisions every day. We make those choices on how we're going to live our life, Andy.
Yes.
And so that's a really, really great one. I recommend that you check that out. Next thing I wanted to mention, Steve, and that is America's Veterans Stories, which we'll broadcast this Sunday at 3. And then Charlie does rebroadcast some of the other shows as well. Saturday at 10 p.m. and Sunday at 10 p.m. But we did another interview with retired Army Major General John Ron. He's 99. He's going to turn 100 years old in April. And he recalls that day like it was yesterday. And I learned some new things. It's just a super interview. Your thoughts?
Well, we're doing this interview with this guy who was on Omaha Beach day one. Like you just said, he's about to be, you know, next spring he'll turn 100 years old. And he's talking to us like this event happened yesterday or last week. He's telling, we all know about D-Day. Hundreds, thousands of troops hitting the beaches from multiple countries. Thousands of stories being created. Everyone has their own story. And here's John Ron's story, taking orders from his commander. And I guess he was assigned to go after those big guns.
Right, on the top of Point Tomahawk.
On the top of the cliffs. And, you know, he's telling this story with such incredible clarity. So this is one you want to hear.
Yeah.
That's incredible, by the way. When you're one of those guys who's having to climb up to where those big guns are and the turrets, mm-hmm. they, you know, it's not just the big guns. They have guys in there who are literally, their job is to shoot down at you and mm-hmm. keep you from getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, it's almost a suicide mission. You hear guys like this, and I feel like less of a man. I mean, it's just so impressive.
Well, I think what it does is it calls us. We understand our responsibility, our duty. And we talked about the American soldier. And we had done an interview with Dr. Alan Gelzo, who he teaches at Princeton now. He's a professor there. And he's an expert on Lincoln and on the Civil War. And I think that was a July 4th show that we did a couple of years ago, Steve, with Dr. Gelzo.
Yes.
And we were talking about the Civil War. And how, as you, I think you said recently, Steve, those black muskets put up a lot of white smoke. And so.
Yeah, the black powder creates white smoke.
Oh, yeah, the black powder.
Lots of it.
Okay, so at Gettysburg. Gettysburg was fought July 1 through July 3. It's amazing to me just how then July 4th.
Right.
Just the timing and all that. But what he said is it was very difficult to see. And so a number of those on-field commanders or soldiers, they had to make decisions, the Union soldiers, on what to do. And he said there is this creativity and innovation of the American soldier. And he said so the guys, the Union soldiers, were scurrying around underneath all that smoke making decisions. And he said, just think about it. If they hadn't stood then and been successful, and when I say stand, you know, make that stand.
Right.
Who would have been there to stand against Hitler in World War II?
No one.
I know.
I mean, it's really incredible what they do. And, you know, I'm going to say this, Kim. It really upsets me today when I see how a lot of politicians want to treat the military. Because the military is amazing. Here you have people from all kinds of walks of life, from all kinds of community, and they all come together with one goal. They're going to protect us. And yet you have these politicians, these woke politicians, and General Milley and these types, who want to turn it into some kind of woke experiment. And it's kind of like, you know, folks, you know, and as you know, I'm a veteran. I was in the Air Force.
Thank you for my freedom.
Thank you. Mm. And, you know, I just want to look at them and say, you know, folks, these people are not here to be your activists. They are your protector. They have a job to do. Okay? Get your activism. And by the way, I don't care if it's left or right activism. Get it out of the military. Let them do their job.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And, Steve?
Well, I don't want
to. And you're a veteran as well. Thank you for my freedom.
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. both Andy and I, we held down the Air Force for a couple mm-hmm. years. I don't want to give anything away, but one of the things that struck me yesterday, we've all seen movie accounts of D-Day and this particular operation to get up those cliffs. Well, when the guys in the movies shoot the grappling hooks up over the top, mm-hmm. they were immediately successful in the movies.
Oh, were they?
General Ron tells a different story that all the rain that had come down in the days, those grappling hooks kept on falling in soft dirt.
Oh, my.
So they weren't exactly, you know, it took a while to make that happen. And I think that's the type of tidbit of information you're only going to get from a first-person account.
And can you imagine having to do that multiple times to get it right and having people shooting at you Well, as you're trying to do this.
Should we explain what happened? Because, okay, so they have, the way I understood it, is they have the plan, they're going to shoot those grappling hooks up there. But as Steve mentioned, there had been so much rain that the ropes had taken on a bunch of water. And because they were heavier, they received the order to shoot those grappling hooks. And there was one boat that he said, I don't know, the guy wasn't paying attention or whatever, and he didn't shoot. So I think they only had one shot at it, really. And so he turns around, he sees that all of these grappling hooks are falling short. And he goes, wait a minute. And so they made an adjustment, and he shot his six, and all six of them were successful.
Wow.
And so, again, this is a story that people don't know. And so I would highly recommend to check that out. It's an honor for me to get to do this show. And for you, Andy, for you, Steve, all veterans out there that have been willing to put their lives on the line, as you said, to protect us, to stand against the bad guys, to stand against tyranny, and to stand for liberty. It is something that is uniquely American, Andy Pate.
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's face it. I review movies. When you guys hear this interview, you're going to hear history, personal, up front, right there. You're not going to hear some account of it, you know, from a reporter. You're going to hear it right up front. That's awesome.
Right. Absolutely. So, okay. Andy, this show is going way too quickly.
But
I want to talk about the Kyle Rittenhouse case. I also want to get to our quote for the day. But I get to work with so many great sponsors. And before we go to break, on the line with me is Hal Van Herke. He and his wife, Linnea Van Herke, are true entrepreneurs. They are the owners of the family-owned business, Castlegate Knife and Tool, located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. Christmas is right around the corner. Hanukkah starts. Are you doing anything special? Can you tell us what's going on?
Yeah, we have all kinds of restrictions from our vendors that always don't like us to talk about the special things we might do for special customers. But if you want to you need to check out our website today. We've got special surprises both on the website and exclusive opportunities in the store as well. That, you know, without being silly, are so good we're not allowed to talk about them. In addition to that, we just opened up our pop-up store in downtown Castle Rock. That's going great. The real emphasis there is up on holiday gifts and kitchen items. We have carving sets, steak knife sets, individual kitchen knives, both that are handmade in the U.S., as well as Japanese knives, German blades, etc. All kinds of unique blacksmith-made cleavers and kitchen choppers and items like that, plus over 100 different outdoor knives and the best selection of knives, of quality pocket knives, under $100 that we've ever had in our store, both now located in our main store in downtown Sedalia and in our pop-up store at the Mercantile in downtown Castle Rock. So we keep bringing in new things every day. If you haven't been in the last week or two, there's always something new for you to check out at any of these locations.
Well, and for the chef or for the kitchen, these cutting boards that you're talking about, these specialty items, really sound like a lovely gift. And of course, a good steak knife set, a good set for the kitchen, those are things that they're really, truly, truly an investment. But when you said pocket knives, I remember one of the interviews that we did, is that you said that your love of knives really began when your father gave you a pocket knife. And so as I was thinking about Christmas time, that may be a very good gift that a father could give a son for Christmas or Hanukkah.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. That's how I got interested in knives. I still have that knife that my dad helped me buy for Cub Scouts against my mom's better wishes. And that was made it very special for me that we went to go shopping together as you know, father and son. But regardless of your circumstances, knives make great gifts, and the knives that we focus on, regardless of the price point, are the ones that we think have a great chance of becoming heirloom items that can last you a lifetime, guaranteed for a lifetime, et cetera. We try to only pick the best knives from the best makers around the world. And that's absolutely something we have in the back of our mind all the time, is we want the knives not only to be functional, but we want them to be special.
Hal Van Herke, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it. And that website is castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. Hal, we will talk to you next week.
Thank you, Kim.
And we'll be right back.
Life is more than what we have in the bank. Mary Alpers and Steve Kruse with Three Points Financial understand that comprehensive financial planning is an important component for each individual to thrive and prosper. Three Points Financial provides tax, investment, and retirement planning so that you can achieve your financial independence. With so much public policy uncertainty, it is important to have the professionals at Three Points Financial working for you to navigate those uncharted waters. Check out ThreePointsFinancial.com to schedule your initial consultation to achieve your financial freedom. That's ThreePointsFinancial.com.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. And you get first look at all of our upcoming op-eds, our podcasts, our articles. Patty Kurgan, our researcher, has written a very important one, Life of Fear or Life of Peace, particularly during this particular season, Christmas season. So be sure and check that out. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. In studio with me is KLZ radio personality, and that is Andy Pate. And you're going to be on Rush to Reason today, on Friday.
Oh,
it's movie day.
Yep. Today's movie day from 3 to 6. And what we do, the first hour, I'll do a movie review, and we'll talk about some other things. Second hour is all movie rentals on a topic, and today we're doing hearing voices. So all the greatest voices singing or speaking in movie history.
Okay.
So if you have any ideas on that, James Earl Jones. Let me just throw one out there.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And the third hour, we do Foodie Fridays.
Okay.
So we talk about a kind of food, and there you go.
Speaking of food, another one of my great sponsors is Hooters Restaurants.
Yum!
And they have, I think, the best wings out there. That is what they specialize in. And they have all kinds of different specials. And on Saturdays, kids eat free. They have happy hour specials, lunch specials, and highly recommend that you check that out.
Again, can I jump in for a sec?
Sure.
You know, another thing they have is great fries. I love places that have great fries because places that don't really let me down.
Uh-huh.
Hooters is good.
Yes. So great fries, great wings. They actually have great fish and chips, too.
I have not had their fish and chips.
Yeah.
Are they really good?
They are. And on their lunch specials, that's one of the, I think they're $10 specials for that. And they're trying to hold the line here. It's difficult with all this inflation that's going on.
So,
you know, holding the line on all that. But again, they're another great sponsor. This show is going really, really fast. It normally goes fast, but it's going really fast. Let's talk a little bit about COVID. Steve, you just mentioned that Germany has decided it's like deja vu all over again. They're locking people down who are unvaccinated, or what's going on?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but they seem to be the first nation on record to pull the trigger on a lockdown for the unvaccinated. And I've heard it from a couple different sources. None of them, though, will tell you what does that really represent. Is that 250 people? Is it 250,000 people? Is it 10 million people? So typical of the press not to give you enough facts to be able to make sense of what it is they're telling you.
Well, and Andy, I can't figure out for the life of me why there is this determination between vaccinated and unvaccinated. We did a show on Wednesday about this medical discrimination, but somebody may be unvaccinated. They've had COVID. I know COVID is a real thing. They have the antibodies, and there seems to be no conversation about that, Andy.
Yeah, well, look, it's nothing but oppression. That's what it is. First of all, by the way, I'm German. And so my home country, they're weird. Every so often they try to take over the world. We have no idea why they do that. It's like a dog chasing a car. It doesn't know what it would do with the car. Okay, but I mean,
I never thought about it that way.
Germany is weird, okay? And so now they want to oppress their own people once again, something they are very good at. They've practiced and they've done a good job of it in the past. And the whole idea of dividing people in general is a tool of the left. You want people divided, not united as one race, not united as all people, okay, but divided along, you know, racial lines, along gender lines, and now along vaccination status. And the whole idea is to take a group, put them on the outs, and then use power against them. And that empowers the people who hold the power, the government. Okay. Always works.
Well, a couple of things, and we talked about Reggie Carr. I'm a uniter. And his show is on on Fridays, 9 to 10 a.m. It's almost revolutionary what he's doing, trying to do on this whole I'm a uniter thing. But we didn't mention this, and it is an important fact, that you didn't grow up a conservative.
No. I grew up in a hard left household. Hard left. Very Marxist belief, atheist, and that's what I grew up in. We actually went to a Lutheran church, which was incredibly liberal, but in southern Wisconsin at that time, you kind of had to put on a public show.
So the family was atheist but went to a Lutheran church.
Yeah, my dad especially. And by the way, I had a great family. They're wonderful people. I didn't hear anybody tell a lie. I mean, like any lie, my entire childhood. So just so you know, it was kind of a different kind of a left-wing family. But yeah, my dad was my principal, and he also... My middle school principal. My dad... Oh. My dad actually suspended me once. That was good. And
Just once.
And he was... but, you know, he has a master's degree in education. My brother, a master's degree in education. And, you know, I won't bore you with all the details of my past. Long story short, I am the only right-winger in my family. I left the fold. And I'm also a born-again Christian and with a degree in the ministry. And so, yeah, I debated myself into being a Christian. And then I took the next step and simply said, look, politically, I can't do this anymore. And, you know, it's kind of funny because you talk about freedom versus force all the time.
Right.
I talk choice versus control. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I left the left was one thing, control. And for me, the big thing was education. And I would look at my dad and I would say, Dad, why is it fair that we take tax dollars from people of all beliefs and we teach one side? And we literally program wave after wave of young people to think as we do when we're taking money from people of all beliefs. I said, that's control. That doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair. And that's where the divide started to happen and started driving me to the right.
Okay, so question.
Yeah.
And I remember my father had always said that people that he disagreed with, he said, and he was in the Air Force as well.
Okay.
He said, I spent 4 years in the Air Force so that they would have the freedom to do that. But
right.
Then what you're seeing with the left is they have used these American ideals of freedom of speech. And now once they're getting to the point where they're holding the narrative, now we see that they don't want freedom of speech. So they've used these American ideals of freedom to get to a point where they're in control and control your word.
Right,
and
right.
Then once they're in control, then they don't believe that those ideals apply anymore. Am I correct on that?
Well, they never believed they applied. What they do is this: they believe they will use their freedoms to take away your freedom. That's the whole idea. You're free. Look, if you don't believe in freedom for everybody, I believe in freedom for the liberal. I believe in freedom for the communist. I believe in freedom for me, the right winger. I believe in freedom for everybody to live their life as they choose.
There's responsibility with it as well.
Absolutely.
Because our friend Ben Martin, patriotic historian, former Army Ranger, he says that liberty is the responsible exercise of freedom. What's
right.
Your thoughts on that?
I totally agree. Okay, but the leftist, what they see freedom as a tool. Okay, I can use my freedom of speech. I can use my freedom of association. I can use my freedom to take away your freedom because I only value my freedom. I don't value your freedom. You know, one thing I always Well, I always say two big statements in the party of choice, which is what I do. The first one is, I want to control my own life, not yours. That's my politics. Mm-hmm. I want to control my own life, not yours. And the second is, I support every choice that doesn't take away someone else's choice.
Okay.
That's why I'm pro-life, by the way. And the when you talk about freedom, when you say, I want my freedom, then you don't believe in freedom. When you say, I want everyone's freedom, then you believe in freedom. Okay? If it isn't liberty for all, it isn't liberty. And on the left, they want you to have to live as them. They want you to have to wear a mask. They want you to have to study liberalism in schools and, you know, racism now. Let's face it. That's what they're pushing in schools. They want you to have to live their way. And they use their freedom. Look what they're doing with the press. Look what they're doing with big tech. They're using their freedom to literally cut off and silence other people's freedoms.
Right.
That's what they see it as a tool to control. We see it as a tool to live. I want to control my own life, not yours. So we see our freedoms as a tool to be able to, you know, express and live our lives. But we don't think in terms of making others live like us.
Right. And I think that it's difficult for us to even fathom that. And as you mentioned, we have these robust discussions out here in the cubicles.
We have solved all of mankind's problems out there.
But one of the things you said, Kim, you have to understand that Marxists do not think like we do. It's like we can't even get our brains around. And it's instead of... like justice, we'll talk about Kyle Rittenhouse.
Sure.
Is it's all about the cause.
Right.
All about the... So you said that you never heard a lie told in your family, but yet there is this lie of Marxism. How would you match that up, Andy?
Well, the lie of let's put it this way. I never heard a lie told in my household. They were always completely honest. The big lie of Marxism is that we are not here to control you. Okay.
Aha. Uh-huh.
We are here to, you know, most people, if you ask most people which side wants to control their lives, especially if you ask young people, they're going to say Republicans, not Democrats. They will.
Yeah.
I could go into why that is. It would take a couple minutes. We don't have the time. But what the left does, let's look at it this way, Kim. You always use language for one of two purposes, either to reveal your thoughts or to conceal your thoughts.
Mm.
Always. Okay. And the left is always going to use it to conceal. Always. They will always use it to conceal what their real intent is. Because when you are a liberal, when you are a leftist, you look at mankind disapprovingly. Not just because we're sinners and we have sin. No. You look at mankind as something that needs to be fixed. Okay? Environmentalism. You say, basically, you see mankind as a virus on the planet, wrecking the planet, and you need to fix them, force them to be like you. Okay, look at vaccination status. You need to force them to be like you. You took a vaccine, they have to take a vaccine. They must live like you. And they'll come to you and say, well, wait a minute. It's obviously been proven that the vaccine doesn't stop you from catching or spreading COVID. The whole reason for mandates is to stop the spread, and it isn't stopping the spread. So then you go and say, well, it's going to lower symptoms. Yeah, but we have a lot of treatments that can lower symptoms.
And lots of times they're withholding those treatments.
Exactly. They withhold those treatments. Why? Because they work. They don't want to see it work. I've never been vaccinated. I've also never had COVID. Okay. One day I will. Everybody does. I'm sure I'll get it. But, you know, the whole thing is that to them, all that matters is control. That's all. It is a drug. It is. And there is nothing like it, Kim. The knowledge that you can make others be like you. This is why so many in the teachers' unions, there are good teachers, wonderful teachers out there, okay? But these teachers' unions, the feeling of control, when you have a group of 30 young people, malleable minds, and you have them for 6 to 8 to however many hours plus homework a day, and you can make them think like you. And so, you know, when you and I would look at it and say, hey, a child's success should be the only agenda in schools, they look at it and say, I can actually make a kid be like me. I can chart their course to actually believe as I do. That power is intoxicating.
True. And not all teachers are like that. There are those.
No, there are wonderful ones.
Yeah. But you even see that in local government when I got onto city
yes.
council. And when I find this so interesting, people say, I'm running because I want to give back, or I'm running because I want to help make our community better. You hear it on both sides of the aisle.
And
it's like,
some mean it.
Wait a minute. I think what we want to do is to try to preserve freedom, keep government as limited as possible, and have in place, when I say policies that help the private sector, that would be lower taxes, lower fees, more liberty, those kinds of things.
Every time people talk in terms, you know what, you're right, that's a better way to put it, because every time people talk in terms of giving something back, what they're talking about is, I'm going to get government to give you things. And the only reason to get government to give you things is, I'm going to use other people's money to buy your votes, which empowers me.
True that. Andy Pate, this is going by way too quickly. Let's go to break. I teased this whole thing.
We
yeah, that we were going to talk about that.
Okay.
So that's what we're going to do. In studio with me is Andy Pate, KLZ radio personality. Before we go to break, another great sponsor is Kirsch Insurance Group. They are specialists in the Medicare arena. And I find this goofy, very goofy, Andy, that the government says that you have a certain window in time, October 15th through December 7th, to make decisions about your 2022 Medicare plan. And if you have surprises when 2022 comes along, it's so sad, too bad.
Yeah, you're locked in.
Yeah. And so that is why Kirsch Insurance Group, you need to reach out to them right now, because December 7th is right around the corner. Their website is iKirsch.com. That's iKirsch.com. Time is a-wasting, and you want to make sure you set yourself up for success for 2022. We'll be right back with Andy Pate.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And in studio with me is Andy Pate, KLZ radio personality. And Andy, this has just been so fascinating. You and I have these great conversations out in the cubicles. It's like, okay, let's bring this on air. And it's going by too quickly.
You know, we should have brought a cubicle in here.
So that we could stand over it and
yes,
talk to each other
exactly.
Like that.
It would have made more sense, but go ahead.
I want to get to Rittenhouse, because that's what we said we would talk about.
Okay.
But Omicron, you just had a couple of, I think, comments, and we'll have to talk about it again at some point. But.
Okay, I'll do this fast. How's
okay.
that? Omicron, as everybody knows, you can move the letters around and it spells moronic. So I call this the moronic plague. All right, because here we're all freaking out about the latest variant. Folks, just kind of a rule of thumb. Obviously, you know, mutations, you never know. One could go very badly. But in general, think four words. More spreadly, less deadly. As they go, you see, because a virus wants to survive. That's the whole idea. Not wants, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It naturally selects out things that survive less. And so the whole idea for a virus to survive, it needs hosts. And it needs more of them. And the faster it spreads, the more hosts it gets. But also, if it's more deadly, it kills off its hosts more quickly. This is why when you see some of these terrible viruses, like in some African tribe, you'll find out that in all time, they've only killed 11, 12,000 people ever. Why? Because they killed off their hosts very quickly. They were locked down. People go in with the astronaut suits, you know, the hazmats, and lock it down. And before you know it, you shut down the spread. Because you can see it very easily. The hosts die very quickly, and it's not going to spread. Okay. The new variants coming out of COVID almost always are going to be more spreadly, less deadly, because that's how that's how COVID is going to survive longer. And that's probably what's going to happen. This will probably, you know, flood over the world. And what's going to happen is a lot of people are probably going to get COVID from it, and they're going to be immunized against all COVID because of it. Because, as you know, natural immunity covers you against a wide variety of variants, not just the one that you're getting, you know, the shot for.
But Big Pharma doesn't get all the money on that, and that also takes the control away from all these PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties.
Exactly. There's no natural immunity boom in money. Okay, you know. Okay, you want to talk Rittenhouse?
Let's do. Okay. We have, what, gosh, 8 minutes. So,
all right.
Okay, let's go.
I'll be quick. Here was the thing that really struck me with Rittenhouse.
Oh, wait. I had the Thomas Jefferson quote that
I want to hear it.
Share. Okay, here we go.
He's a lot smarter than me.
Well, I don't know. Steve, you were in school with Thomas Jefferson.
Steve, what was he like? I mean, really, what was he like? He doesn't want to say.
I think our mics just went. Oh, it did. Oh, smarty pants. Okay, so this was written in 1816.
You play with fire, you get burned, so carry on.
And it was regarding justice. This is what Thomas Jefferson said. And I always find it interesting. Did you realize that he and John Adams died on the same day, July 4, 1826, July 4th, 1826, 50 years after the Declaration of Independence?
Wow, I did not know that.
Yep. And our third president, he said this: "The most sacred of the duties of a government is to do equal and impartial justice to all citizens." So you take it from here.
Okay. Well, first of all, every time that you read one of these quotes, I want Steve to wear a white wig and complete the entire feel of it. So you're kind of letting me down, Steve, but, you know, just next time, okay? Next time. All right, the Rittenhouse verdict. Here was what was really troubling, is that it took 4 days. And as an ex-leftist who really understands the political pressures being brought to bear, I could kind of understand why. This was an open and shut case. Obviously, by the evidence, there was no question he was innocent. It wasn't close. It wasn't even in the zip code of being close, okay? He was defending himself. He wasn't hunting people. If he were, he would have gotten up behind, you know, some obstructed place and started picking people off. He was running away from people. Then he was assaulted. He would have died if he didn't have a gun to protect himself. That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yet it took 4 days.
For the verdict.
Yeah. The reason you're never going to know totally what happened in that, you know, jury. We never will. I won't. You won't. Nobody will. They'll put stories out, but you won't be. But they'll be conflicting. Mm-hmm. Here's what I think. Okay. I think there was a division on that jury. And I don't know if it was 11-1, 6-6. I don't know. But somewhere on that jury, you had a division between the people who were looking at evidence and the people who were looking at consequence of their verdict. Okay. And the people who were looking at evidence, I guarantee you, right from the start said, we are not going to budge. He's innocent on all counts, period. We're not going to find anything guilty on this kid. It's done. All right. But then you had those who were looking at the consequences, and there were really three consequences they were going to be looking at: public safety, obviously possible rioting. And I think the rioting really didn't happen because it took 4 days. See, the rioters were ready to go on Tuesday.
You saw the bricks. And
yeah,
everything.
Maybe on Wednesday. But you know, rioters are lazy people by nature. They're not, you know, when you get around to Thursday, Friday, it's tough. So public safety was the first one. Private safety, their own and their loved ones, was the second one. Third one was political. And I really believe this. And people say, no, they would never think of these terms. Hey, take it from an ex-leftist Democrat, you know, who was raised in the heart of that. Yes, they would. Okay, because they think it is the greater good that we have to get some kind of guilty verdict, anything on this kid. Why? Because our party is getting crucified out there. Our party, in advance, over all these months preceding it, have already lynched the defendant. We didn't wait to see the verdict. Our party lynched him on CNN. Our party lynched him in the White House. Our party lynched him in the Congress. Our party lynched him in the media. Our party lynched him in big tech, shutting down posts that would be supportive of him. We shut down places where he could raise money for his defense. We shut down everything. We lynched this kid. And already their party I'm talking about the Democrat Party, had already just gotten blown out on Tuesday earlier in November, okay?
Right.
They're reeling, and I could go through all the reasons. There are too many. It would take too long. But they are reeling on so many counts, okay? You know, obviously, Russian collusion has been shown not to happen. There's a lot of things that went wrong for them. bottom line is this. They couldn't have that big of a loss. Now that they've had that loss, you know, up front they can, you know, they're going to claim, oh, it's racism. You know, he got off because he's white and all this. That's not going to hold. The public isn't going to go toward that. And the more they see this kid talk, like in his interview with Tucker, the more they're going to like him. Mm-hmm. This is terrible for the Democrat Party. Now, do I think they were thinking politics on the verdict? No, I think they were thinking a lot of consequences, including that. They were thinking a multiple reason some group was, we can't let him go entirely innocent. And I believe that the clash between those two things was what took 4 days.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, that's why I wanted to get you on the show, because I can't quite think like a Marxist, but you grew up in a family. You or said, Kim, you need to look at this differently. And so we've got 1 minute left. What do you think? What does this mean for going into the future?
I think this means that the Democrats are in trouble in 2022. And the reason is, once again, on top of everything else you've blown, you know, inflation, everything, we could go on, Afghanistan. You just lynched an innocent man publicly. And that's going to come back to haunt them more and more and more, because every Democrat running nationwide has probably, a lot of them put out comments about Rittenhouse. Mm. And that's going to come back to haunt them on the campaign trail, and they know it.
Wow. Annie Pate, it has been just great to have you in studio. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And people can hear you today from 3 to 6 on Rush to Reason. And it's thanks for being here.
You bet.
It's been a lot of fun.
I'll be back.
Okay, and our quote for today is from Thomas Jefferson, and this is from his first inaugural address in 1801. He said, "It is proper you should understand what I deem the essential principles of our government, equal and exact justice to all men of whatever persuasion, religious or political." And so, my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. Further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce, through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them.